Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 29 of Casinos USA podcast. Pennsylvania gambling explodes. We'll be discussing the new law. Janie's going to stop in and talk about a famous poker player who died in Deadwood, South Dakota. And later on in the podcast, we'll be giving you some important video poker tips. So stand by. This is Coach Fab. We're about ready to roll. Let's get going. It's about 10 days ago that the governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, signed into law an expansion of legalized gambling in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I think expansion is an understatement. Actually, let's start with satellite casinos. Pennsylvania's 10 larger casinos can now bid on a satellite casino license, and that would allow them to build a smaller casino with up to 750 slot machines and 30 table games at a new facility that isn't within 25 miles of another casino. Now, counties in the state could say, we don't want casinos here, but I don't think many would. Bidding for this new license for these satellite casinos starts at $7.5 million. And if you want to have those 30 table games or up to 30 table games in that casino, add another $2.5 million. How about this new law also permits gambling at truck stops? Qualifying truck stops can operate up to 5 slot machine style video gaming terminals. And so, again, counties can prohibit these machines, but again, few would because they're going to get tax dollars from it. So now the majority of truck stops in Pennsylvania will have 5 slot machines soon. And this is big. Licensed casinos in Pennsylvania and potentially beyond can apply to operate casino-style gambling on websites to the people in Pennsylvania only. A license fee of $10 million allows a casino to operate poker, other table games, hey, I'm hoping it's craps, and slot machine-style games online too. So just 3 states right now that I know of in America has legal online casino gambling. There'd be New Jersey, Delaware, Nevada, and you can add Pennsylvania to that list. So we're state number 4. The new law also permits Pennsylvania to sell lottery tickets, Keno style, and feature online games. And so you can buy instant tickets and raffle games online. However, this proceed will go to the lottery fund because it subsidizes programs for the elderly. The lottery is prohibited from operating casino-style games such as poker, roulette, slot machines, and blackjack. And as far as we know, only 4 other states allow people to buy their lottery tickets, their state lottery tickets online: Georgia, Illinois, Kentucky, and Michigan, and now Pennsylvania. But this next part of the law challenges Nevada and Puerto Rico because Pennsylvania has approved airport gambling. These machines would be accessible only to ticketed passengers. So the eligible airports are Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Erie, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, that's one airport, Lehigh Valley, Harrisburg, Arnold Palmer Regional Airport, and University Park Airport, which is in State College, the home of Penn State University. Again, these machines in these airports would only be accessible to ticketed passengers. It's still big. It's a big move. The new law also legalizes fantasy sports betting in Pennsylvania. It's going to be regulated and taxed by the state. Fantasy sports operators have to verify that the players are at least 18. So fantasy sports also gets a pat on the back. How about sports betting? This is an unusual part of the law. Casinos can apply to offer sports betting at the casino or online, but it won't be legal or approved until the federal law or a new federal court ruling says that you could have sports betting. There's exclusivity, we know, for Nevada, but that law might be challenged. And if you wanted to prepare for sports betting in Pennsylvania, which I'm certain will come one day, that license is $10 million. And finally, the law touched on two relatively small casinos, and we've actually talked about one of these. Valley Forge Casino in suburban Philadelphia and the Lady Luck Casino at the Nemacolin Five-Star Resort, which is in southwestern Pennsylvania in an area called Farmington. They can pay fees now to the state to make their casinos bigger by adding slot machines and table games. And this is important, to allow gambling by people who aren't taking part in other amenities there, you know, staying there at the lodge or at Nemacolin. So that's big, and I would expect both casinos probably to expand. But parts of the law that really interest Casinos USA are these satellite casinos. You know, I've mentioned that the Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh is about 34, 35 minutes from my home. But my house is more than 25 miles away, so I'm hoping that one of these satellite casinos with table games comes close into Armstrong County. That would be sweet. And of course, the other part, and this is going to be mega money for the state, is to legalize a lot of aspects to online gambling. You know, poker, table games, slot machines, you know, regulated legal games. Oh my goodness, what a change. The 12 casinos in Pennsylvania, the 10 big ones and the two small ones, bring in more tax revenue than any other state but Nevada. And I'm curious to find out, say after a couple years and this shakes out and everything's going full blast, if we don't catch Nevada. Oh my goodness, can you believe it? I know there's more than 200 casinos in Nevada, but they can't be taxed the way Pennsylvania casinos are taxed. And why did this happen? Because the Pennsylvania legislature and our governor could not get to a balanced budget. And, you know, more and more states are starting to see the advantages of legalized gaming. Right now, there's 40 states in the United States that have legalized gambling. And, you know, you start to wonder about a saturation point. Well, clearly in Pennsylvania, the powers that be don't think that the state is saturated yet, because this gambling is quite an expansion. I hope you got that, and I hope you follow it. We'll report on it as it starts to come in. You can believe we'll report on it because we'll probably be enjoying it. All right, let's take a short break and we'll come back with Janie talking about Deadwood, South Dakota, and something that happened there should interest every poker player who's listening to us. We'll be right back. Hey, we want to thank our digital audience that came back today for episode 29. And I know they're going to enjoy our next portion. Here's Janie.
Hi, it's Jane. I just wanted to share a little story today, a poker story, in fact, from the Legends of the Wild West. A few years ago, Coach and I went to one of our big cross-country casino trips, and we ended up in Deadwood, South Dakota. Not because of the poker, but because I wanted to see Mount Rushmore and Crazy Horse's Monument, which I would say were very worthwhile, and I'd go back and see them again. But as we got closer and I was reading more and more about Deadwood, I thought, wow, what a lot of history here. And I wanted to see the town then. Well, wouldn't you know it, we got there when they were having their celebration. There's a Days of 76, which happens to be a yearly celebration there. So the town was all decked out, and there's so much to do there in that town, so much history. Well, anyway, maybe you've heard of the Dead Man's Hand in poker, and the story of that takes you way back to July of 1876 when Calamity Jane and Wild Bill Hickok arrived in Deadwood, South Dakota. But unfortunately, Bill would only live a few more weeks because he died on August 2nd, 1876. Now, Deadwood, that town was known as the Wild Wild West. And the story of him has survived, I think, possibly because of that connection with poker and gambling. In his lifetime, Wild Bill had been a soldier, a scout, a lawman, a gunfighter, and a talented poker player. So the legendary gunslinger and lawman, Wild Bill Hickok, was playing poker in a saloon in Deadwood, and it was called the Saloon Number 10. Now, it burned down, and there's another one there now, not in that same spot, but it's called Old Style Saloon Number 10. Anyway, it's well known that Wild Bill never liked to sit with his back toward a door, and he never had until that night. And when he went into the saloon, all the chairs were taken except one, which had him with his back facing the front door. So he was in the poker game, and he was going to draw for his fifth card, and he was shot in the back by Jack McCall, who was known at the time as a constant sore loser in poker. Now, the hand that Wild Bill was holding is now called Dead Man's Hand, and it consisted of eight of clubs, eight of spades, ace of spades, and ace of clubs. So he was holding two pair, two eights and two aces, all black cards. Now, it's unconfirmed what the fifth card was and would have been, because at the time he was shot, he was just drawing. Some argue that it was the Queen of Hearts, but I happen to have a T-shirt that I bought in Deadwood that has the hand, and it has a five of diamonds on it. So part of the problem is that he was drawing the card as he was shot. That card fell to the floor, as did other cards on the table. So we won't know what that card was. Now, I did mention Calamity Jane. She was his girlfriend, and she was a tobacco-spitting, beer-guzzling woman who was famous for her sharpshooting, and she claimed to be in love with Bill. And after his death, she joined Buffalo Bill's Wild West show as a trick shot artist. That's probably why her name is so well known. She died in the early 1900s, and she is buried, actually, next to Wild Bill in the Mount Moriah Cemetery in Deadwood. And, in fact, their graves and that entire cemetery is a tourist attraction. We didn't go to see it. I had wanted to, because it's referred to as South Dakota's Boot Hill. There's a few other prominent people who are buried there.
Hey, when we were kids, there was a movie that was, it was certainly sanitized. It was kind of comedic. Doris Day.
Right, and it was called, she played Calamity Jane in the movie. It was one of my favorites. I was only probably about 6 years old or so when I saw it. But, yes, she was able to ride horse as well, and was a great sharpshooter, and was very tomboyish is what we'd call her. And then in the movie, she gets changed a little bit, where she's more fashionable and more feminine, more ladylike. But it was a great movie. It went to number one what year was that?
It's in the mid-50s.
Okay.
I also know that that song, Secret Love, because I followed You Always But the Goodies, but that song, The Secret Love, once I had a secret love,
right,
became the number one song on the radio. It was a top hit in that era.
Oh, I remember listening to that song, and my father took us, my mother and I, to that movie, and I loved it. My name obviously being Jane, he always called me Calamity Jane after that movie, and then, of course, that's why I had to buy the T-shirt in Deadwood, because it had on it Calamity Jane right at the top, and then it shows a big picture of Wild Bill, it shows the poker hand, it shows the Black Hills Mountains in the background, which, if you're not familiar, Black Hills Gold, that's where they found a lot of gold, and to this day, there are still gold companies, jewelry companies called that have a line called Black Hills Gold. And you can see, as you draw, if you go past the mountains, you can see the gold striations, in the black rock.
Well, I know the story, doing a little research of the guy that shot Wild Bill from behind, right in the head, Jack McCall. He actually was found innocent by a trial that same day, because he said that Wild Bill had killed his brother. But as you probably know, what did they find out?
He didn't have a brother.
Yeah, he just made that up.
Yeah, he was a sore loser. He hated Bill Hickok. Even though Bill was, the legend has it, was kind enough after the one poker game the day before he shot him, he gave him a poker chip to cash in and have a meal.
Yeah, well, they did eventually. They said the first trial didn't count, even though that concept of double jeopardy you hear so much about today, because it was just a territory, I guess.
Right. South Dakota was not a state in 1876. It was just considered a territory.
So the authorities tried him somewhere else when they caught him, and they that second time, then they hanged him. So, what a story.
Well, what's entertaining is that in that new, it's called the Old Style Saloon 10, they restage the shooting with the at the poker game every night, actually four times a day, except on Sundays during the summer months, the nice weather months. So you can partake in that if you want to. Yeah. And they have the original chair, but it isn't in the game. It's in an alcove above the door in Saloon 10. At least it's said to be that same chair that he was sitting on, even though Deadwood had sustained many fires over the years.
Well, I guess all poker players probably want to stop into Deadwood, but you know what, casino lovers in general, because it's so curious. It's a town of, you know,
1400.
Yeah, and they have 24 little casinos now. Some of them are like the size of a Starbucks. I don't think we went in and go in every one, but we went in several.
There's only maybe four large casinos. They're attached with hotels. And the hotels are like a Hampton Inn, a Holiday Inn, and then they have the casinos with them. And we stayed at the one, and they're nice, they're large, but almost every store or every other building has a couple slot machines, or they have poker games you can get into.
I know when we were there, dice table game wasn't legal, but it is now. So I think a summer ago they just did that. But, you know, just maybe tell our listeners, Deadwood is surrounded by American history. Like some of the other things.
Oh, it is. It's just amazing. Yeah. Custer's Last Stand is just there right outside of the Badlands, which is an amazing area to go through. There's all kind of dinosaur bones. They have dinosaur parks there. As I said, they have the Black Hills Mountains there, and they have jewelry stores there. They also have tours you can take of the jewelry plants there, and one of the big companies is called Mount Rushmore Black Hills Gold.
And you know, the Mount Rushmore presidents, that's amazing, but more amazing to me was the Indian hero who's...
Oh, Crazy Horse.
Crazy Horse. That's something else.
Right. We went, but made the mistake of going to see Crazy Horse first. It's absolutely huge. And so when we went to see Mount Rushmore, it's so much smaller than is Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse isn't done, and there's all kind of stories about it ever getting done because of the size of it. But it's very interesting, and you and I both found it was a great place to visit. I mean, there was so much more that we could have done that we didn't get a chance to do, but we did something every minute we were there. And even on the whole way home, you drive across 80, and they have probably the most interesting rest stops in the state, at least all the many states we've been through.
I just wanted to say another thing about this casino trips. The town of Sturgis is just right down the road.
It's the next door.
Can you imagine how many of those cyclists must go over to Deadwood to gamble?
Well, they do. When we were in Deadwood, the Sturgis bike, what do they call that? The Sturgis Bike Festival?
I think it's just a rally. Yeah.
A rally, yeah. It was in a couple weeks, and already people were coming into Deadwood to get their rooms and to stay, to set up tents.
It's pretty wild. It's still, I mean, it's not like maybe it was years ago, but it's still pretty wild.
Oh, and it's fun. There's a lot to do there. It's beautiful. All the mountains around it.
I love these little nuggets that you keep bringing to the podcast, and I hope you know that we appreciate it very much, Jane. Thank you.
Well, I enjoyed being in Deadwood so much, and I really would like to go back. I guess that's what I'm getting at next. I would like to go back.
Well, maybe now there's a craps table, we can get some of our listeners to meet up with us there, and we can shoot a little craps and talk a little American history.
Right, we could. And I did. I also learned that when I was there that gambling was considered illegal and outlawed for many, many, many years in Deadwood, or in the whole state of South Dakota. And then it was legalized again, and now it's been up and running. And I think in the state there are, 24 casinos?
Well, there's 24 little casinos in Deadwood, but there's a lot of tribal casinos in South Dakota now.
There's at least 13 in South Dakota, a lot of tribal ones.
They're all tribal, yeah. So I understand that because Native Americans are just a substantial population in South Dakota.
Right. It's a really interesting place to visit, and as I said, I would encourage anybody else to go. And
I just thought of something. That series on television, was it HBO a few years ago?
Yeah, HBO had that series called Deadwood. Yeah.
You know, I never watched any episodes, but maybe that's something we could do is go back and.
Well, I know that when it was popular, I think like 2004 to 2006 or so, that Deadwood was so happy with its success, the town of Deadwood, that they were considering building some new buildings and, having some different celebrations. But then when the series was canceled, they had to stop everything.
Well, okay. Well, hey, thanks again and appreciate your input.
I know Benny Binion out of Las Vegas must have been impressed with this story and maybe followed it because, believe it or not, the World Series of Poker started in 1970, all right, in Binion's Horseshoe Casino, downtown. But in 1979, the World Series of Poker inducted Wild Bill Hickok into their Hall of Fame. Oh, my goodness. So, 100 years later, plus a few years, 1876 to 1979, Wild Bill's name gets immortalized in the World Series of Poker Hall of Fame. You know what? If that's what it takes, get shot in the head, I don't want to make that list. Okay, hey, we'll be right back. Okay, so here we go. Here's a video poker concept, for this podcast. Now, slot machines have a payback number, and it's a ratio. So in Pennsylvania, under our gambling laws, the lowest a machine can be is give back 85% of what it takes in. So, for example, for every $1,000 that the machine takes in, it has to pay out $850. Now, most of the casinos pay more than 85%, and this is published weekly in the state's newspapers. Usually they're 89, 90. I've never seen anything higher than 91%. And I want to tell you, this is where Nevada does have an advantage. I talk a lot of times about don't go to Las Vegas for the gambling. You can gamble at home. But I'm wrong when I say that about video poker, because in Las Vegas, you will find machines with more than 100% payback ratio. And you're thinking, what? That doesn't make sense. This machine's going to give back more money than they're not making anything on it. But the way that works, there are machines like that, but they'll be in a cluster, and they'll have a sign, and it will say something about 100% payback. Well, it doesn't mean that every machine in that in that area will give you 100%, but a couple of them will, one of them will. You don't know which one it is, but it might say that the minimum payback in a cluster is 95%, 96%. And you can see, when you start talking those kind of numbers, you're going to surpass most states, including my home state of Pennsylvania. So understand what that payback ratio is all about. And that's important. Again, over just a few, games, 25, 30, 50, 75, 100 games, it might be a meaningless number. And that's something we'll talk about. But obviously, you want a machine that pays back more than a machine that doesn't pay back as much. Now, the next thing to talk about with video poker is there's a pay table. And, I talk about Jack's or Better. There's other poker games, but that's the one I play. But you can examine this before you start to actually put money into the machine. You can just check the pay table was to pay back. And then you have to understand the ranking of poker hands. And I went through this in our last podcast. You know, it starts with a royal flush, straight flush, four of a kind, and then full house and a flush. And it's the full house flush you want to look at. So if you put in just one unit, you know, one coin, one imaginary coin, bet one, okay, and it says nine, and that's for the full house, for every unit you get nine. Okay, now if it says six for the flush, for every one unit, if you get a flush, you know, five cards of the same suit, then that 9-6 is ideal, and that's where you want to sit down and play. You can't beat it, but they're getting harder and harder to find. Used to be they all were that way. Well, you know, nothing gold couldn't stay. Remember that line in the poem. Today, it's much more common to find full house on, you know, bet one pays eight, and for a flush, bet one pays six, 8-6. So most of us are probably stuck with 8-6. But you don't want to be stuck with less than that. I've seen them less than that, and they're becoming increasingly common. I've seen 6-5, full house 6, and a flush 5 for one unit. And that's not good. That's not good. So that's a video tip. Okay, the payback number for the machine, that ratio number, that percentage, is important. But the pay table for the hands is even more important, in my opinion. And you want to ideally look for a 9-6 machine. And what's starting to happen is the 9-6 machines are associated with, you know, higher minimums. So, like, it might be that one unit, one coin, so to speak, is $5. And, you know, max that machine would be $25. And when you're playing at a 25-cent machine, then you'll probably find 8-6. But if you found a 9-6 and you're playing 25 cents, then you want to sit there because that's better. So look at the pay table, full house. If it's a 9 and one below it is a flush, that's where you want to sit. You can tolerate 8-6. It's not good. But if it's worse than 8-6, don't play. That's my suggestion. And that's my video tip for this episode. I also wanted to share with you, I read an interesting article on the house edge. And, you know, everything in a casino has a house edge built in. But the article was on blackjack. And, you know, it said that after 10,000 hands, the house edge is pretty much locked in. And after a million hands, it's completely locked in. So the casino wins, you know, in the long haul. But here's something to think about, a kind of refreshing way to gamble. And just try it out. You know, I'm not saying this is gospel to do every time you're in a casino, but what if you just wanted to say, well, you know what, if you just play a little bit, the house edge isn't going to strangle you, you know, because anything can happen. So let's say you go, you're going to play 20 rolls of roulette, and you're going to play six shooters at a craps table, and you're going to play one shoe at a back of a table. There's an example. It's like you could just move about, and having disdain for that built-in house edge, which probably doesn't apply over the course of a few hands, something to think about. You know, number of spins of roulette, number of shooters and craps, and, you know, sit down and just play out a shoe in baccarat. Just something to think about. It's a different way to gamble. If that house edge is something that troubles you and you think, you know, I'm going to get around it. I'm not going to be one of those players that gets locked in and gets crushed by the house edge. I'm going to gamble just a little bit. Now, I know people will say, well, you left the craps table, and after you left, it got so hot. Well, that's just a risk you take. But on the other hand, how many times doesn't it get hot? You just keep losing and losing. So you do have to have, you know, a walk away, get out of town number in your head. Whether it's 150, 300, 500, 900, whatever it is, you know, you got to tell yourself, I'm not going past that figure. You know, I always say you don't always lose at a casino, and you win, and sometimes you win big. But the way to beat the casino is not to lose big. You're going to lose at times, but just don't lose big. So just think about another way to approach gambling is just a little bit of this one, a little bit of that one, a little bit of this one, see what happens. All right. Well, hey, we had a lot of fun talking about the new laws in Pennsylvania and Janie's story about Deadwood. It just Wild Bill Hickok. Now, he was a married man, and, you know, history kind of says that he didn't really have a great interest in Calamity Jane, but, you know, legends have it that they may have been lovers. Who knows? I don't know. I'm going to give the guy a break. I just don't know. But clearly, she had an affection for him. And after his murder by Jack McCall, she joined the Wild West show by another wild man, and it's Buffalo Bill Cody. He had that famous Wild West show. That's where she became sort of like a household name in America because of that Wild West show. She was just a great shot. But I would encourage you to go to Deadwood, South Dakota. There's so much history there. And, you know, sit down in a saloon like I did and get into a poker game. And, you know, I said, hey, I'm going to lose $40 and get out of here. But at least I'm in a cowboy, you know, it's my cowboy moment, you know. So, anyway, Casinos USA, a place where every day is Saturday, and, you know, we live for our birthright, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. God bless you. See everyone in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Hey, every day is Saturday.